The following program may contain subject matter and language not suitable for all ages. If you are sensitive to true crime details or adult language, perhaps you might want to check out some of our other shows on the network, which are safe for all ages. So with viewer and listener discretion advised, let's get to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Murder, Mysteries, and More. My name is Nicole Mancha, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Alex Mercado.
Hey, hey.
And we are joined by our lovely co-host and wonderful producer, Mike Mercado.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
We're making it.
Yeah, and on this week, guys, we have a very interesting episode to get to. But what did you guys think about last week's, the electrifying episode that was Ruth Snyder?
That's not great.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. You start, Nicole.
It was a good episode. It's just Mike's joke wasn't great.
I always say it. The episode, we always go into it thinking, oh, this isn't good. This is going to be fine. And it turns out way better. And I think that's one of those examples of going in, we didn't know much. And it turned out to be one of my more favorite episodes recently in the last, let's say, 10. And I really enjoyed the conversation we were able to have about it. And I feel like we can do a new genre out of that, of still capital punishment and where it fits and where it doesn't fit.
I still think that the photo is the most horrifying part of it all, that it was even run, because there's no way that that would be allowed. Like, things would be removed immediately.
But, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it would have been taken down, removed. Like, there would have been a whole thing. But back then, it was just like, well, it's done now.
At least by the mainstream. Because you'll see that stuff on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Like, the most disgusting,
nasty things. But even then, it gets reported.
Yeah, but it finds its way back around.
Yeah.
But you won't see it on the front of the Daily Herald or something, or the Tribune.
Right.
So check it out, episode and our archives, wherever you get your favorite podcast, at Mercado Airwaves. But on this episode, we go from one grisly subject matter to another one. We are in the spirit of the summer, and today we're going to talk about shark attacks.
Shark bite. Hoo-ha-ha.
Before we get into today's conversation, I want to give some credit to my sources. I want to give credit to Kristen Hunt from the Huffington Post and Jason Enon from Grunge. So the first one, I want to start off a little bit light.
I have a few sources too, Jaws and Finding Nemo.
Very good. So today I want to dip our toes in the water a little bit easier. So this one's a little bit more of a friendly one. And I titled this one Flipper and the Avengers. So Rob Howe,
great title,
his teenage daughter and two of her friends were swimming about 300 feet from New Zealand's ocean beach when seven dolphins sped towards them. The animals formed circles around Howe and the girls and aggressively slapped their tails against the water. Howe wasn't sure what was happening until an opening appeared for a second and he spied an unmistakable great white shark.
That is horrifying. This is why I have issues with the ocean, right here.
No, exactly. Like, it terrifies me to go in the ocean. I mean, Lake Michigan terrifies me enough, but the ocean alone is just, there's so much we don't know, people.
Well, and like when I was in Greece, people would go night swimming, and I'm like, y'all know, like, there's shit in there that you can't see because it is pitch black, and they would just go like waist deep, and I was like, I'll sit right here and watch you.
The dolphins maintained a shield around the group for 40 minutes, staying with them as they swam back to shore. Quote, it glided around in an arc and headed for the other two girls. My heart went into my mouth because one of them was my daughter, said Rob Howe.
God, animals are amazing.
So that was the first one. Like a video game, the levels get a little bit harder as we continue on to the story.
So here's my question. And I don't know if we know the answer. I know, Mike, you're really into Shark Week and same with Nikki. How big do great whites tend to get?
Big.
Yeah, super big.
Like, I don't know. Like,
an adult female is from 15 to 21 feet. Male is from 11 to 13 feet. It goes up anywhere from 1,200 pounds to 2,400 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So let's say smallest, double Mike's height, basically.
A car.
Like 12 feet.
Like the weight of a car. But think about it. Like, that massive beast that can literally just...
With the million teeth and the killer.
Oh, don't like any of that. Cool. Okay. Great.
So this one's titled Man versus Wild. In 1963, a great white shark came after Rodney Fox while he was spearfishing on Aldinga Beach in Australia. Over the course of the struggle, Fox nearly gouged the beast's eyes out. But the giant fish definitely managed to get some licks in, nearly biting Fox in half, leaving him with a punctured lung, exposed vital organs, and several broken ribs. It took 4 hours of surgery and 462 stitches before Fox was in the clear. Fox decided to dedicate his life to studying sharks. Quote, I went to the surface, took a couple breaths of air, and looked down as best I could through the blood-red water. I saw this great big shark coming up with his mouth wide open. Rodney Fox.
The fact that he's even able to be here still to talk about this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how people go through something like that and then are able to then talk about it later because they're not making it through. Like, to have a punctured lung, he, like, bit right through the chest.
I think it's fascinating that after the attack, he decides to study sharks. Because you know the way I feel about trophy fishing? That's their territory. You're out there throwing spears in their territory. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Like, I don't feel bad for you in that case. But to see the ending where he's like, no, now I want to study them. Now these creatures fascinate me. So that's kind of a cool twist at the end there.
This next one is called The Royal Peg Leg of England.
Cool.
One of the earliest, quote, famous shark attacks involved a 14-year-old cabin boy named Brooke Watson. Watson was swimming in the Havana Harbor in 1749 when a shark, probably a tiger shark, some believe, grabbed his right foot. It dragged the teen underwater and chomped on his foot a second time before a sailor with a boat hook came to the rescue. The man managed to beat the shark back and Brooke survived, though the doctors couldn't save his right shin, which was amputated. The story might have ended there if Watson hadn't gone on to become the Member of Parliament and eventually Lord Mayor of England. He was so proud of himself that he personally commissioned John Singleton Copley, the artist who painted a bunch of Revolutionary War scenes throughout that time, to create Watson and the Shark.
It's fascinating to me that they only had to amputate and then he was okay. Because in 1749, it's not like medicine was anywhere near where it is now. I mean, yeah, because like infection could have happened. There's so many things. But for him to like live and then be able to do all of these things in like Parliament, that's nuts that they were even able to save his leg in general.
It reminds me of every bad army general in a movie that like is battling King Kong or this shark or this dinosaur, and they get like a trophy, they get their arm bitten off or something, they become even more badass somehow. This reminds me of that, where he survives this attack,
yeah,
and he just owns it and is like, yep, I got you.
This next one is personally close to my heart.
Jaws.
I just wanted a beer. In January,
Who doesn't, guys?
In January 2014, Grant was spearfishing in New Zealand when a shark, most likely a seven gill, attacked him. It latched onto Grant's leg, and he realized, in his own words, bugger, now I have to try and get this thing off my leg. He stabbed the shark with his knife until it let go and ran away. Grant then left the water, removed his wetsuit, and discovered multiple bites on his leg. Since he was a doctoral student, he stitched himself up and then decided it was time for a cold one. So he and his friends hit the nearby tavern for a drink. Once he was done, he headed to the hospital he worked at, where not drinking doctors did a better job of stitching him up. Grant's only regret? He didn't finish the shark off when he had the chance, as he put it, quote, it would have been great if I had killed it because there was a fishing competition at the Colic Bay Tavern.
Jesus.
That's like really bad for you. Aren't you not supposed to consume alcohol after losing a bunch of blood like that?
That is correct.
They do things differently in New Zealand and Australia.
You definitely, that's the point of these stories. They're, I think, clearly, is that on that side of the world, it is very different how they handle things.
There's a reason why a lot of them are UFC champions.
I was about to say, I'm like, they're just a stronger breed than we are,
I think. Have you not seen the Haka and like,
I was just thinking teams? That rugby teams.
Yeah. This last one that not a lot of people know of, I call Murder by the Sea.
Manchester by the Sea.
The horrifying story of Robert Pamperin goes back to June of 1959. While at San Diego's La Jolla Cove, Pamperin was diving for sea snails with his buddy, Gerald LaHare, and all was going smoothly, until LaHare heard Pamperin scream. He looked over and saw Robert hoisted high out of the water without his mask. Why was he so high up? The entire lower half of his body was in the mouth of a shark. The hare followed the shark under the water and tried to divert its attention, but it wouldn't take the bait. So he swam to shore for help instead. By the time a rescue team got out there, all they could find was a lone swim fin. Quote, "It was so big, I thought at first it was a killer whale. It had a white belly, and I could see its jaws and jagged teeth. It was between me and Bob, and I could see him kicking his legs at it, but it kept biting at him." Gerald LaHare.
It reminds me of that scene from Jaws, like, not joking, honestly, is where the shark's on the ship, and you just see the upper torso flailing around and the entire lower part in the mouth of the shark, actually.
This is, like, one of my nightmares, is seeing a shark in the water while I'm swimming.
It does fascinate me that sharks are very known that once you start putting up a fight, they tend to back off. Their whole mindset as a creature is very fascinating to me of, there's a lot you can do to fight against. Like, they only need one good attack and you're dead. But it's known that you can fight off a shark in a couple of simple ways. So aiming for their eyes, aiming for the center of their face, or, yeah.
Is that, like, real, or is that an old wives' tale?
I believe it's real. I think it's one of those.
I've heard it a lot.
Like, it seems like a wise tale, but it actually turns out to be slightly true.
Yeah.
I don't think it's directly. I think what it was used to be punch him in the nose.
Yeah.
But I think it's more the eyeballs. Like, go for the eyeballs and they'll back off usually.
Yeah.
Once you show them a counterattack. A
lot of sensory things probably happening in the center of their face.
I mean, predators aren't usually adapt to fight someone that's attacking them back, honestly, so.
Ugh. Yeah, it's one of the only situations where you're not sitting there and letting yourself be attacked because they will just eat you whole. It's not like a bear where you sit there and you just get in a fetal position. So very interesting. So those were – I also brought up this one, though, because I thought, what were the chances that this might have been Moira? Because think about it. A whole body eaten whole. So in order for a grown man to get stuck inside somebody's body – this isn't something that I saw within the sleuthing I did. So I'm just thinking, like – let's be a little cynical here on murder mysteries and more. And let's just say, if you're going to kill somebody and you have a gripe against somebody, especially in the 50s into the 60s, this is a way to do it. And they don't have the same forensic technology. They don't have the same type of idea of how sharks work. It's a very easy way to kind of get away with something. So this was the one I saved for last when it came to not really famous ones. That kind of seemed a little weird to me of, oh, I saw him go up there and this great tale of this shark doing this thing. But, like, sharks don't – they when they attack, like, they don't eat feet first.
Yeah,
They come directly toward you, and if
they
underneath.
Do, they do come from underneath. Like, that's how they attack seals. But, like, they attack your belly. So I don't think they're going to attack. And if you see a shark and you're swimming away, like, it's going to come from the bottom. So I think it's a little weird.
Because there's no other witnesses, right? It was just this guy who was the sole witness. I mean, I know that they do say that sometimes there is, when you're in the wetsuits and stuff, they look like a seal or you resemble a seal. And so that's why they attack. But yeah, I mean, typically, and that's with most predators, they attack the stomach because it's the most vulnerable part because it's the core. It's the center of your being. It's why they say, like, when dogs turn over onto their stomach, they trust you because they know that's the most vulnerable part of them.
And where you're getting an attack from a shark, you're close enough where your body chunks are going to come out somewhere. They're not going to eat you whole. They're just not going to.
Well, would they float, though, or would they sink?
They would float. Buoyancy. Body parts would float.
Well, it's like you always say, and it's been a running thing throughout the whole show, is how many bodies are out there we don't know about. And I was watching something the other day that it mentions that of, you know, in the rainforest or climbing certain mountains where groups of people will go up and only a certain amount come back. And, you know, the cases that have been opened against some of these people where the details didn't add up of, you know, this husband and wife went up and only the husband came back. And, you know, my wife, you know, she got lost and we got separated in this and a body's never found. And there's really not much you can go off of unless you find certain pieces of evidence. Or, oh, he had a life insurance policy on her, or he already had planned to move out and be with this other woman. So I find it very fascinating when it comes to the ocean, too, of how many things have happened out there that we just don't know about. I mean, look at this year alone with celebrities and, you know, getting pulled by currents into the ocean and not discovering bodies for days.
No, I think that's a really good point. I mean, there's so much that we don't know about. And that's part of it is, like, maybe something happened that, you know, maybe this did happen. It's obviously possible that it did, but it's just the fact that with everything happening and not having really anything except for like this lone flipper, even if there wasn't body parts necessarily, because I would think that the ocean would kind of take that, you know what I mean? Like it's food for the rest, but you would think at least some of the wetsuit besides just a flipper or the goggle, you know what I mean? Just something else would be there.
I just thought it was a little fishy.
That's better. They've gotten better. Here's my question for both of you. I'm going to give you an A or B. Would you rather go into and peruse around, discover space, or the bottom of the ocean?
Bottom of the ocean.
I agree. I would go bottom of the ocean.
Well, then I go to space.
You got Star Wars?
Yeah. Well, Makes sense.
He can't agree with us. Yeah, it's just not part of his person.
Now, we have two more in the bank right here that we could go to if you guys still want to stay in the water. All right. Start off with Henry Borse.
We'll be the mayor in Jaws and keep the beaches open. The beaches
will be open.
Oh, God.
On November 29th, 1964, Borse was filming an underwater documentary around Lady Julia Percy Island near Australia when a great white shark attacked him. Borse did all he could to kick the giant fish off, but he still lost his left leg below the knee. Rather than forget about his documentary, like probably anybody else in the world would, Borse told his crew to keep filming the aftermath. He even made sure they got footage of his leg floating helplessly in the water, since apparently the shark decided it tasted terrible. Borse recovered quickly, returning to the water just 6 weeks later. Plus, he finished his documentary. He used the footage of his mutilation plus some dramatization to finish off Savage Shadows. And just 3 weeks after the attack, he was back rocking with the Thunderbirds, the band that he was in. When reminiscing about the day he almost lost his life, Borse summed it up with, "Nearly spoiled my day, it did."
Oh, shucks, it did.
Nearly spoiled. Nearly. Didn't fully spoil it. Just nearly just spoiled.
That's
it.
Like when you stub your toe in the morning, you're like, you know what? My day's a little weird, but it's not that bad still.
And this
with a shark.
Well, and this final one is one that we all know. We all have seen it. It's been in the movies. It's been in television shows.
Finding Nemo.
It is about
fish are friends, not food.
Bethany Hamilton lost her arm to a shark when she was just 13 years old. It was the work of a 14-foot-long tiger shark, which targeted Hamilton as she was surfing on Halloween morning. She lost her entire left arm and over 60% of her blood. But thanks to her friend's father, who fashioned a quick tourniquet out of a surf leash before they ran to the hospital, Bethany lived. In fact, she returned to the waters 1 month later and won her first national title about a year after that. She then turned pro, grew up, got married, went on the Amazing Race with her husband, and had a child. Now, here's a quote from her really fast to kind of sum it up. It was about a 2 to 3 second period, and when it was attacking, all I saw was a gray blur.
Oh, I can't believe she got in the water again after that. I mean, I know.
And dominated.
I know. I know they always say, like, get back on the horse, like that kind of thing. But I'm like, y'all, I would not be getting back up. I would be done with the water forever.
Happy summer and happy Shark Week, everybody.
Jokes on her. I did none of that with two arms.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
She's well awesome, done. Though. But yeah. She's like, when you see her real interviews and you see the videos of her surf comps, like, it really is impressive and, like, inspiring to see. Like, surfing is such a balanced sport. So, like, you're at a huge disadvantage as is, and you're dominating the competition.
So what did you guys think about our exploration in the deep with some good old shark attacks?
I'm never getting in the ocean ever again, and it's fine. It's fine.
I guess my last question to you two is, what is our fascination with sharks? Why do they stand out? When we were kids, we had Shark Week, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Is it maybe a fear like a haunted house thing? Is it just a fascination of these creatures we don't understand? What is it with them?
I think it's the movie Jaws had a lot to do with it, pop culture, because I think, honestly, a more scarier animal is like alligators and crocodiles. Like, mm-hmm. They legitimately kill people every single day. I just think sharks are so majestic. It's the same reason why we love lions and tigers. They're so big and there's not a lot of them. And there's just this mythical creature to them. Same reason why we love polar bears and grizzly bears. Like, we can make them into cute characters, But in real life, there are these devastation mechanisms of mayhem by the universe and nature to take care and balance things. And quite honestly, I think a lot of it is a respect factor within us. We are top predator as well, but we're top predator because of our brainisms. You know, it's like because we're smarts. But you have this fish that controls 80% of the planet. Like, think about that. 70% of the planet's ocean is water. Who's the king of the water? It's the shark. It's the great white shark. Like, that is Aquaman. Apex and Aquaman and Jason Momoa. That is top of food chain type of stuff. So I think in our lizard brain, something about sharks that we just, it's a homage that we have for them.
Whereas dolphins are more majestic,
well, they're beautiful. They're the puppies of the water.
Even though they're also very dangerous, too.
Oh, for sure. So are orcas. Orcas are probably...
Killer whales are extremely dangerous.
Wild animals are dangerous when you're in their territory. Let's just be honest. Oh, like gorillas, scary. Lions. Yeah, nature exactly. I mean, we're from the Midwest, so we don't have a lot of those. Like, I mean, what do we have? Like coyotes sometimes? Coyotes.
Foxes. But like, bears.
I'd mess up a fox that came at me. It's the size of Mowgli. I'd deck it out.
It'll go for your butthole, though.
Yeah, but that's okay. I got a big old butt.
Yeah.
Glad we got here, guys.
Yeah. Bears freak me out. I think bears, like if we named all those animals... To me, bears, I guess, because it's the most...
Like, logistically,
that
around, yeah.
That terrifies most. And a bear is just so... It will mess you up. Like, it has the teeth and the claws, and I can't go anywhere. It can climb trees. You know, besides Winnie the Pooh, bears are scary.
The one animal and the species of animal that just terrifies me is birds. If birds are just a bit bigger, like if a chicken was the size of a little warthog.
Chicken. Yeah.
It would be a little raptor. You know, like these are little dinosaurs. So those are the type of the creatures where we're just lucky that we evolved to be so much bigger than them. And like sharks are in the water and we basically, you know, killed every other predator on the planet. So like that's the only reason why we're still atop a food chain.
What about you, Nikki?
I think that when it comes to like sharks and stuff like that, I think what it always is that we don't see them. You don't see it until it's too late.
Yeah.
Like there's something
just a shadow in
the
water.
Just like the deepness of the water. And a lot of times, like in a lot of places, there is like a darkness and then you don't see it until it's coming at you.
What is the famous old theme song that Drew McIntyre say? You never hear the shark that takes you down. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is. They're the silent killer. You just never hear it coming. So
I hate it so much.
I loved it. I love doing this episode. We're going to do some more stuff like this. When in between some of the real serious and heavy hitter episodes, we're going to do some fun. Kind of like the old episodes where we're doing about the curse stuff. I find this fascinating. I'm no expert. I'm not a marine biologist. I do go to the Shedd Aquarium, so I'm as close as you get to one.
You're
and
not
I
George
do,
Costanza.
And I do have a bunch of them. If you go check my Animal Crossing town, my museum has a bunch of awesome sharks. So I am as close to a shark expert. And I have saved the whale with a golf ball once. So you're right, George Costanza.
I am a shark expert because I've seen all the Jaws, even the 3D ones. So I would consider myself a shark expert.
We are doctors. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode of Murder, Mysteries, and More. Hopefully you enjoyed the loosey-goosey. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the new format that we are doing. Just bringing you guys stories, exposing stuff, talking stuff. Alex, stop exposing yourself. That's not what I said. But
one time.
One time.
So it's been a lot of fun. Let us know if you want to hear something specifically. If you think we want to go into one realm, should we do some more alien stuff? Like, let me know. I don't know what you guys want to do. Just let me know on Twitter at MikeMedia. Type in when tipsy, Mercado21Alex. Check out every one of the shows that we're on. You can check out the Gone Missing Podcast on Twitter at Gone Missing Pod. The lovely Nicole Mancha, Alyssa do some awesome work. We have a new episode coming out this Thursday, so make sure you guys check it out. You can check out The Good Brother talking all things pop culture and entertainment at The Good Brothers Podcast at Good Brothers Pod. And I'm everywhere all over the network. If you want to talk about sports, you want to talk about pop culture, true crime, I'm probably there and I'm ruining your favorite shows. But check me out anyway. Sports from the Couch at Couch Sports Talk, at Mercado Airwaves, and at Super Mercado Bros. For the lovely Nicole Mancha.
Goodbye, everybody.
For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
Become a producer at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves and show off your swag and support for the show. We have a shirt for the good brother.
When in doubt, merc it out.
teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. I'm Mike Mercado. We'll see you in the next episode of Murder,
Mysteries,
and More.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy.
You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves, our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod, our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More, and of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network, and of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes, by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it, wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us, and please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.